This book includes content that may be distressing to readers and listeners, including violent or dangerous behavior, and abusive or discriminatory treatment of individuals, groups, religions, or communities. Chapter 1. Here we go again. Here we go again, I thought. We were all standing in line, waiting for breakfast, when one of the caseworkers came in. This was bad news. Either they wanted to send someone to a foster home, or somebody was in trouble. All the children watched her as she walked down the line. Oh no. She stopped at me.
Are you Buddy Caldwell?
She asked.
It's Bud, not Buddy, ma'am, I said.
She took me out of the line. Then she took Jerry, one of the smaller boys, out of the line too.
Are you Jerry Clark?
She asked. Jerry nodded.
Good news, boys, she said. You're both going to new foster homes this afternoon.
Together? Jerry asked. I was thinking the same thing.
No,
said the caseworker. You'll be in different homes. Jerry, you'll be in a family with three girls. Bud, you're going to live with the Amoses. They have a 12-year-old son. He's only 2 years older than you.
I'm sure that you and Jerry will both be very happy in your new homes.
I looked at Jerry, and he looked at me.
Don't look so sad. There's a depression, and you two are very lucky to find homes, said the caseworker.
Me and Jerry went to our room to pack our suitcases. Jerry sat on his bed, and I could see that he was trying not to cry. I sat down next to him. I know it sounds terrible, Jerry, but you are lucky. I'm going to be living with an older boy. Older boys always want to fight. The girls will think that you're special.
Will they?
Said Jerry.
Of course, I said. You're going to be great.
Jerry looked like he wasn't upset anymore, so I went across to my bed and started packing. I was the one who was in big trouble, but I felt sad for Jerry. Jerry was 6 years old, and that is a hard age. People think that you become an adult when you're somewhere around 16 years old, but that isn't true. It happens when you're 6. That's when adults stop hitting you lightly when you get in trouble. When you're 6, they hit you hard enough to knock you down. I learned that in my first foster home. 6 is a really difficult age. That's how old I was when Mama got sick, and I came to live here in the home. I pulled my suitcase out from under my bed and opened it. I open it every day to check that nobody has stolen anything from it. At the bottom of my suitcase are my flyers. I took the blue flyer out. In big letters it said, Herman H. Calloway and the Dusky Devastators of the Depression. Below that was a picture of some old men playing music. One was playing a giant fiddle. There were two men next to him. One was playing drums, and the other was playing a horn. I have never met Herman E. Calloway, but I have a good feeling that he is my father. Below the picture were the words, One Night Only in Flint. Flint is my home city. I remember the day that Mama came home with the flyer.
I remember it because she was very upset. She put the flyer on the table and kept picking it up and putting it down again. I was only 6, and I couldn't understand why she was so upset.
Mama had 4 other flyers, just like the blue one, but those ones didn't say anything about Flint. Mama died not long after she brought the blue flyer home. I put it back inside the suitcase and closed it. Here we go again.
Sometimes it's important to know when enough is enough. I was having this thought because Todd Amos was hitting me hard and blood was coming out my nose. I fell to the floor and put my arms around my head. I tried to get under the bed. Todd kicked me, but he was not wearing shoes, so it did not hurt too much. The bedroom door opened, and Mrs. Amos, Todd's mother, came in.
"Toddy,"
said Mrs. Amos softly. Todd stopped kicking me and looked at his mother.
"Toddy? Toddy, are you all right?"
asked Mrs. Amos. She looked at me.
"What have you done to Toddy?"
"I was only trying to help," said Todd. "And look what he did to me." Todd pointed at his face. There was the red shape of my hand on Todd's face. Mrs. Amos pulled me out from under the bed.
"What have you done to my son, you horrible boy?"
"I was just telling him to go to the toilet," said Todd. "I didn't want him to wet the bed." I tell the best lies in the world. But I have to say that Todd was good, too. It was like Todd knew number 3 of Bud Caldwell's rules for having more fun in life and telling better lies. Rules and Things number 3. If you have to tell a lie, choose a lie that is easy to remember. Todd did that. This is what really happened. I woke up because it felt like a train was driving straight into my nose. I opened my eyes. Todd was standing next to me with a yellow pencil in his hand. "Wow," he said. "It went up to the letter R." I looked at the pencil and saw the word Ticonderoga written on the side of it. "I've never gotten it deeper than the letter N on any of the others," said Todd with a laugh. "We might have fun together, buddy." That was when I hit him. I didn't care that he was older than me, or that he was bigger than me. I didn't care that the city was paying his mother to look after me. I wasn't going to allow anyone to push a pencil up my nose to the R or call me buddy. But Mrs. Amos believed Todd's lie. "You're a horrible little boy," said Mrs. Amos, passing me a blanket. "And you won't sleep in my house for even one night." Mr. Amos came into the room. He was holding my suitcase. He's looked inside it, I thought.
"Mr. Amos will take you out to the shed tonight," said Mrs. Amos. "You can come back inside tomorrow morning before we send you back to the home."
I reached out my hand to take my suitcase, but Mrs. Amos stopped me.
"Oh, no. We'll keep this so you don't steal anything or try to leave before the morning. I know that you won't leave without your suitcase."
Mr. Amos took me outside to the shed. He opened the door, and I walked slowly inside. When I was inside, Mr. Amos shut and locked the door. Everything went black.